right, friends, now we come to one of the more important parts of the program, and that is our guest. That's right, and who is our guest for this hour? Well, it's a guest that we've had before, back on January 16th on Crystals. His name is Dr. Marcel Vogel. Now, he is recognized as one of the most authoritative researchers into the therapeutic use of quartz crystals. For 27 years, he was a senior research scientist and one of the most prolific inventors at IBM, introducing liquid crystal technology as well as developing radiant pigments, fluorescent phosphors, and magnetic tape coatings. He has produced many patents which are now in common use. Oh, there's a lot more about Dr. Vogel, but his most important work right now deals with the Psychic Research Incorporated. Hello, Dr. Vogel.
Yes, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Dr.
Good.
Vogel. Yes, it's good.
I can hear you now. Your voice was very weak.
Well, I took a couple of crystal shots there, and I woke up.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Good to be with you now, and what can I do to help you?
Yes, well, our interest tonight, as a matter of fact, let me introduce our co-host tonight. This is my wife, Zoe Hieronymus.
Good evening, Marcel.
Hello, my dear. It's good to talk to you.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you talked with us about 5 months ago on crystals, during which we performed an experiment using a crystal.
Right.
Did any of our folks out here contact you about that experiment?
I don't recall right now.
There was one instance in which a cab driver said that he had a whale of an experience. He was listening to us in his cab as he was driving down the road.
Right.
And he stopped in a fast food place and picked up some food at that time. And he said that it kind of radiated and emanated a type of light.
That's right.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting, isn't it? I hope it wasn't radioactive. Oh.
I had an experience from that. I'm one of those remiss people from not writing to you to tell you what I experienced.
Oh, gee.
But I was moved almost to profound weeping, a sort of love, joy kind of feeling.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was pretty profound. I mean, I've experienced those things on my own in meditation or during healings of other people.
Right.
But I can't say I've experienced it over the radio.
Well, I've done this with large crowds of people, up to about 1,000 at a time. And what I do is I can build a field in the crystal and then just project it out, and people can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm devoting my life now to the study of these crystals as transducers for the bioenergetic fields that the mind generates when we think.
Mm-hmm.
And what I am finding is, in fact, that I store a field that is very much like what we call a magnetic domain on the surface of magnetic tape in the crystals.
Mm-hmm.
The field that I put into it with my mind can be erased with a magnetic bulk eraser. I can amplify the field with a weak magnetic field. And now the discoveries that I've made, I can do useful work with the information I put into a crystal. The useful work I've done is the aging of wine.
Oh, yeah.
I can put a program into the crystal for aging wine.
Well, can we come back to that in just a minute? Because
really?
I wanted to touch on our main theme for tonight's program deals with the scientific basis of prayer.
Scientific basis of prayer.
Yes, because in one of your, as a matter of fact, friends, I want to remind you that we have Dr. Marcel Vogel on the line. And you're the founder and director of Psychic Research Incorporated, is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, I am.
And that's located at 1725 Little Orchard Street, Unit C.
In San Jose, California.
In 95125. And
that's correct.
The phone number there is 408-279-2291. As a matter of fact, we have several copies of Psychic Research Incorporated. And for you folks that call in, you're going to receive two editions of Psychic Research Incorporated. All right, now, In our last get-together, you mentioned briefly an experiment you performed in Bavaria, Germany, or Bavaria.
Correct. On the power of Mass, the Roman Catholic Mass, and what we did. Do you want to hear the experiment?
Yes, I'd like to hear the whole thing in some detail now and
all
the
right.
results.
Here's what took place. We were in a Bavarian chalet up in the Alps, in the higher mountains. We were by ourselves with about 30 people. With us was a Roman Catholic priest, a monk, and I gave a four-day lecture. I had with me an instrument to measure the fields that were contained in these crystals. So a medical doctor, a physicist, and myself proceeded to measure the fields that were contained in the crystals. There were about 21 healing crystals that people had. There were numerous natural crystals and a number of what is called Herkimer diamonds. They're natural double-terminated crystals. The lecture was given each day by me, an eight-hour lecture. We had dinner, and then we relaxed. We sang as a group, and then we had Mass in the round. Those we sat around in a circle and we had a ceremony of the Roman Catholic Mass. And then we prayed together for the good of the community. Do you follow?
Yes, of course.
I measured then the crystals that people had in their hands each day, measured by three people and a jug of water that was on the table. The first day, there were numbers that were in three-digit numbers. In other words, like 675 or 976, etc. The second day, the numbers increased to five-digit numbers. There was like a 600054, five-digit numbers. The third day, there were seven-digit numbers. But in the fourth day, the numbers all jumped to 34 digits.
Oh.
The remarkable thing was the water that we had on the table had exactly the same value as the crystals that each one of us had with the double terminated, the healing crystals that we made. The natural crystals did not have these values. They were in the 1 to 200 against a 34-digit value.
Mm.
What do these frequencies, when you're talking about these numbers, what do they correlate to? How can somebody understand what you're talking about?
These are astronomically large numbers. These are energetics that are coming in of an exceedingly high value. 10 to the 34th power. Can you visualize that?
No.
Only in terms of the many, many, many zeros.
What?
I said only in terms of the many, many, many zeros.
Right. You take 4 with 34 zeros in back of it, 32 zeros in back of it, 5, 4, and that is what we got.
Now, is there any other kind of energy that is like, that somebody could in their minds think what you're talking about in terms of frequency?
It was the highest energy we have ever encountered.
Hmm.
Now, I haven't finished yet, please. We all had a tremendous feeling of euphoria, you know, of peace, of at-one-ment. You know, I don't know how to put this into words. I took a sample of this water the jug of water that was on the altar or the table that we had, put it in a small bottle, brought it home with me, went back to the same instrument I have and measured it, and I got exactly the same number that I had in Germany. 4 × 10⁴ 5-4. Now, I took a sample of this water and put it into a spectrophotometer, which measures the ultraviolet spectra of that water against the normal water that I would take from distilled water, a reverse osmosis water, you know, compared to any other ordinary water.
Mm-hmm.
When I got into the ultraviolet range, the spectra ran off of the graph. The energy in that water was so high. At the setting, I had the Carey Model 15 spectrophotometer at. It just went off of the chart. I've never seen a field contained in any substance having that high a value. I then looked into Lourdes water, waters from various sacred spots, you know, in historic spots where we speak of the spas and the like.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found indication of those type of waters having a very high indication of charge.
Yeah, there must be something to it.
What that means to me from the studies that we have done over the last 4.5 years is that that water, when it develops this charge, structures, becomes like a battery and holds this energy and becomes a source of this energy when you drink it. This is a remarkable discovery because we can measure the effect of prayer or meditation. It's, I think, the first time we have ever been able to do this. And I wrote this up in an article in our newsletter.
And as a matter of fact, friends, you are going to get a chance to get a copy of not just... Yes, Dr. McGrogle?
Yes. Or that these are the things that we found. Now, I have measured the water again just a week or so ago, and it's still holding that high energy.
That's a long time.
That's over 1 year now. So that is a real surprise. Now, that shows when you get into a real spiritual ceremony and you pray together, there is a transformation that takes place in the body, in the fluids, in the water around you.
Uh-huh.
It had a profound effect on every one of us who were there.
Well, it should have a profound effect for our entire audience. It's truly amazing. And, of course, we have a question, and we have a winner before we even have a question. How can that be?
What is that?
The question, of course, is, who do we have on the line? What group does he represent?
What group?
Yeah. What group? What research
what
institute?
What group is I represent myself.
You represent yourself and...
A research laboratory... in California, where I am doing research on the nature of these forces on in the body.
Well, we're almost giving away the answers to all of our questions here, but it's also located in, of course, California somewhere. Let's get Inga on the line. Inga, Dr. Vogel thinks she has this information.
Good
matter of fact,
Dr. Bob.
Hello, Inga. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
All right.
He is the director and founder of the Psychic Research Incorporated.
Yes,
that's right.
In San Jose, California.
Congratulations. And his name is?
Dr. Marcel Vogel.
Congratulations there, Inga.
Thank you.
You...
I really am pleased to win those books. And I'm sure they're going to be very interested. And I'm from Germany, Dr. Fogel.
I don't
know if you are.
Yeah, my grandparents were from Germany.
Oh.
I'm born in San Francisco, California.
Yes.
So I have my mother's side from Bavaria.
I am from Bavaria. I'm from Munich.
Yeah, Munich.
Yeah.
Well, I gave many lectures now in Munich.
Well, if you never need a valet or somebody, clean up after you, let me know.
Well, I was there last year. Oh, it's wonderful. I love Munich.
Yes, it's a nice city.
Yeah, München State and Hofbräuhaus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my favorite.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Thank you so much for the opportunity to win your books. I am sure I'm going to be very intrigued by them.
Well, I'm devoting my life now to studying these forces. I've been a material scientist all of my life, but also a spiritual scientist.
Yes, I believe the European peoples believe much more in those things as the people born in this country, also in holistic medicine.
They are very much more.
Why is that?
I remember my grandmother going to for holistic medicine for her diabetes and the heart and things when I was a child. So that is over there very common practice.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Dr. Vogel, why do you think that the Europeans are much more open?
Well, they're much more keenly attuned to the powers of mind. They recognize that we really must learn to heal ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are much more attuned to doing that. I'd like to mention to all of you now a very, very wonderful book by Fred Alan Wolf called The Body Quantum.
Body Quantum.
The Body Quantum. And in that book, he stresses that when you think, you modify the person or yourself with the product of your thinking. And that thinking changes the characteristics of matter with your thoughts. Your thoughts are substantial.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very real.
Absolutely.
And this is what I am studying.
That's excellent.
And the greatest thing that I've found is that when you just think lovingly about a person, that energy can move enormous distances, and I can measure that now.
How can you do that?
Scientific equipment.
What kind of equipment measures that?
I pick it up with a spectrophotometer. I transfer the energy from a crystal to water. I spin water around a crystal, and the thought of love is transferred to the water, and the water is structured, and I see the difference in the spectral characteristics of the water.
Mm-hmm.
I've done thousands of experiments along that line now.
Absolutely...
Dr. Bob?
Yes.
Are you still there?
Yes, Inga.
When are you going to go give crystals away? I can afford to buy one.
Well, maybe someday in the future we'll mine a few of our own.
I tell you, I don't miss your show on Sunday night whatsoever. No matter what my children have planned to do, I don't do it. I am here by the radio.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Bob, you know what I'd like to do for you and your readers and listeners?
Yes. What would you like to do,
sir? I've got some natural crystals I got from Peru.
Uh-huh.
Little double terminated crystals, and I'm going to send 10 of them.
Whoa.
And you can use whatever you want to give them to your listeners. Would you like that?
Oh, we'd love that, Dr. Vogel.
So this will be my gift to you and your listeners. And if you call my office on Monday, I will put them in the mail Monday to you.
Thank you. Oh, that's wonderful. We can have a great contest with that.
See, Inga, that's the power of your thoughts.
Right.
You invited me, Inga, and therefore I'm responding to you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fogel. I really appreciate it. And God bless.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Dr. Vogel, can I ask you a question?
Surely. Go ahead.
Concerning the holy water, I wonder how much of the charge is created, particularly when you're talking about the high mass or on any other old ritual that has the accumulative sort of collective momentum.
Right.
How much do you think is generated by hierarchical helpers, like healing angels or religious angels?
That all plays a part. You see, for the first time I'm getting ability to measure and see this.
So you can differentiate.
And I have portable equipment, and I can differentiate this. I go to sacred spots. I went to India, and I can pick them out. I've been to Lourdes, and I'm going back again next year. And I'm measuring this. And in, for example, September, I'm going to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bringing portable scientific equipment with me to measure these various spots and see what the energetics is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bringing back water samples to measure in the laboratory.
Well,
that's wonderful.
Yeah, that is. Boy, I was looking at that trip you're going to be taking in September. And that's going to be a tour as well, is that right?
That is correct. I'm going to Egypt and then to Greece. And then right after that, I go to Australia.
Oh, whoa. Boy,
I want to be with the Aborigines and have them teach me. I want to learn from them.
Well, they could learn a few things from you there, too.
We can learn to communicate with each other. They mm-hmm. have a lot of real information.
They sure do. They really do.
Isn't that wonderful that when you get younger? I'm now 71, and I feel like I'm getting younger each year.
Well, you look younger. Every photograph I see of you, you're younger and younger. That's true.
You know why?
Why is that?
I'm letting go. I'm not being attached to money, to position, or a status. I just want to be with people and enjoy them.
Yep.
I'm beginning to learn how to love people instead of being absorbed in science.
Well, you know, we mentioned something about prayer before. I was going to ask you the question of what really is prayer?
Prayer, by definition, is lifting the mind and the heart to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you take the definition, you mean this. You're lifting your vibrational rate up so that you become in harmony with the divine mind. So you and the divine principle, which is within all of us, become one. And as you learn to do this, see, I learned this at the age of 6. You can talk to your Creator, our Father in heaven. But when we just adore someone whom we don't know, there is no conversation. My prayers are practical conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I talk over my daily work. I talk over my frustrations. These are my prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask for that energy that I need to complete my daily task or work. And it is given to me. I don't ask for a life being made easier. I just ask for completing the work that I'm here to do. And I ask for that insight to know exactly what I am here for and what I am here to complete.
You know, I've always enjoyed that phrase, prayer is talking to God.
And, it is.
And meditation is listening to what he has to say.
But you must carry on a conversation. You just don't still your mind and wait for something to happen.
Mm-hmm. So you had a question.
Yeah, well, I was sort of curious because there are people who aren't religious and don't believe in God or Godhead. What suggestions do you have for creating personal ritual or ways of using...
Well, then the best thing I can offer them is to learn to appreciate nature.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to hug a tree. To see the beauty in nature around them. Go for a walk in the woods and contemplate. Just ask the question, how does that tree grow? And what is its purpose? And just think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're forced, if you do any reasonable thinking, to realize that there is a intelligence, a consciousness, that is behind raising these trees.
You know, one of the...
We sit down and design an automobile and then can drive the car, so those trees are a product of a intelligence or a consciousness. Do you agree with me?
Oh, yes.
Certainly.
Yeah.
absolutely. One of the things that I think is so unique right now in science is the discussion of scalar fields.
Right.
Along those lines, you've said that the Earth is a crystal. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes. The Earth vibrates. It expands and it contracts. It breathes just the same as you and I breathe. It breathes at the rate of 7.8 hertz. That is its breathing cycle. That vibration or oscillation puts in lockstep all of the life forms that we have here on Mother Earth. Now, that is a product of two things. The Earth spins on an axis. It rotates once every 24 hours, but in that rotation, it is expanding and contracting. And that expansion and contraction produces a magnetic field. And that field is a field that holds all living matter in form. It is the primary force. That keeps us all here and keeps us functioning.
And then it's that field that also carries and is permeated with our thoughts and feelings.
Absolutely.
Which is why when you did your experiment over the radio with us, we could
feel. As you go deeper, you realize that we're all linked to this. We are all one.
That's true.
Yeah, we're all one. All
you follow me?
Yeah,
yes.
Of course, yeah.
And as you remove from your preconceptions, your isolation that, I am only myself, and as you surrender your ego, the forces around you can permeate your own being, and you realize that it is so wonderful to encompass the forces of nature.
But Dr. Vogel, you obviously believe that man has a soul.
I sure do.
Can it be scientifically measured yet?
Pardon me?
Can the soul be scientifically measured yet?
I think before I die, we will have practical measurement of the powers and the forces of the soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I saw, at the age of 15, my father's soul leave his body. left his body as a luminous light mass. I assisted my father in his transition. I did that by telling him I loved him, that I would try to carry on the work that he started in the field of color. And as I did that, I saw a light come in through the window, bathe his body, and at the solar plexus, a point of light appeared and just moved up from his body, and he was gone. That was the end of his life.
When he passed on like that, where do you think he went?
When you separate from matter, the limitations of a body, you enter into etheric realms, which means now you are not limited by time and space. You come into the element of timelessness. So you can be wherever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to remain on this earth plane, you can remain here and function. Or you can move to other planetary systems or out into the far reaches of space. One of the great proofs of the existence of life after death is now taking place in Germany in photographing on a television screen people who have passed on.
Oh, my.
I attended a conference on that and actually saw on a television screen the image of a person who was no longer in body. I personally saw and experienced this. This is being worked on now by Dr. Meek, M-E-E-K, in this country, And Mr. Ulrich, U-L-R-I-C-H.
And that's...
If anybody is technically interested in this, they can write to me, and I'll send them reprints of papers of how you can set the equipment up to detect this.
Oh,
but it's one of the greatest confirmations of the reality of people existing after their transition from their body.
You know, this is so fantastic. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. It's not that
I'm talking as a scientist now.
I know, but I'm not. I'm talking as an artist right now.
Because I know.
Years of our knowing one another, oh, maybe 15, 16 years ago, we talked about the possibility of developing a technology that would actually confirm this. And it's just so...
Now.
It's happening.
Yes, it's here.
You guys are really doing it, and that's fantastic. Now, we have a call in from Downtown Dave, Brother Dave, one of the big winners.
Dr. Bob.
Yes, do you have a question for Dr. Vogel?
Not a question, sort of a statement.
Okay, go right ahead.
I am looking and was in the process of hoping I'd come to it before you answered the phone, but I have in front of me a folder on theory and articles that I've saved over the years.
Go ahead.
In the past 10 years, there's an article that I've saved from the Associated Press reporting that the soul has been actually measured and gave the actual density or weight. It's been actually, in other words, what they did, they knew a person was terminally ill.
Right, and they
put
him on
the moment
scale.
Of the soul leaving his body, it reduced in weight by an amount that they measured, and it's a matter of record.
That is correct.
Yeah, I just wanted to add my amen.
I'd love you for
I wish I had the article, but I've got it now. If you want me to read it to you later, I'll be happy to call you.
Could you send us a copy of it, Dave?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Right, we'll go over it in the air, because I remember seeing something about that, but I didn't follow up on it because
of that. It gives the actual measurement, the weight of the soul as it departed the person who was dying.
It was a significant weight change. It was an abrupt change when there was a transition.
Yes, that's true.
So there is a significant mass. It was many, many grams. I've forgotten the exact weight
now. Yeah, that's right. You're right. And I just wanted to bring that to attention because you did mention, I believe it was Dr. Bob asked the question, does it have a weight?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we got an article here on where Einstein's brain is being kept in a Kansas lab.
Yeah.
But
the soul is not the brain.
Right.
Oh, no.
No, the soul is immaterial. It is not limited by time or space.
That's true. It has no limitations.
None at all.
As such.
Well, thank you, Dave. We've got to go on to Howard right now.
Good.
And you're soon going to be qualified again, Dave, to answer some questions here. Okay, let's go to Howard, downtown. Boy, a lot of folks from downtown. Hello, Howard.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Fine.
It's kind of interesting. I just paddled in your show, and I'm sort of one of those hardheads. I'm not superstitious, but I don't walk under a ladder, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
There was an incident that occurred about 15 or 16 years ago. I was a paramedic in Dade County, Florida, on an ambulance. And we had a call, which was what they call a 341, which is sick or injured. It could be just about any cotton thing you get to, right? We found an elderly man who was just about, well, he was, for all intents and purposes, he was clinically dead.
Mm-hmm.
We performed CPR and transported him to a hospital on Miami Beach, brought him into the emergency room, cyanotic, and again, like I said, I must reiterate, almost clinically dead. They did CPR on him in there, did whatever they had to do. We got out, went out on another call, came back about 2 hours later, and they were wheeling this gentleman out of the emergency room into a regular room. He was conscious at the time. They had were successful at whatever it was they were trying to do.
We got about 30 seconds.
He looked up at me and said, thank you, and shook my hand.
My gosh.
And I can't explain that.
Dr. Vogel, do you have any insight there?
Yes. At At the age of six, I was at the point of transition, dying from double lobar pneumonia. I had it four times in 18 months. And the doctors told my mother and father that prepare for my transition. The priest came, gave me the last sacraments, and I experienced moving out of body, going into this light tunnel. And suddenly, I was back into my body. The next day, I was up and running around as a kid, well. From dying, I was suddenly well. And I asked the question, why am I alive? The soul, the life principle, is a vital energy. It's an energy, and when that gets separated, the body becomes dysfunctional. The art of healing is to bring that soul essence into the body again. So whatever the was done,
Dr. Vogel, I'm sorry to break in now.
Oh.
We have less than 3 or 4 seconds. I want to thank you, Dr. Marcel Vogel, Psychic Research Incorporated. Phone number 408-279-2291. Dr. Vogel, thank you for coming on the air, and we look forward to those 10 double terminated crystals to give out as gifts to our listeners.
You're going
to
get them as a gift from me with my love.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Stay well.
Great work.
Thank you, and big hug to you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.